Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Make Better Win Films podcast. My name is Ben. I will be your host. And before we end the show, I've got a couple of quick announcements from our sponsors. The first of which is MusicBed, the home of the best music on the internet for your wedding films. They've got incredible curated playlists from some of the top wedding filmmakers and Hollywood filmmakers from around the world for you guys to find the best music for your wedding films. Use the promo code MBWF. You'll get your first month free and let them know that we sent you, which helps out the show. Our second sponsor is Studio Ninja. Now, today we're going to be talking all about work-life balance and making time for work and hanging out with our kids and all that shit. So if you guys want to free up more of your time away from all that boring admin, make sure you sign up for Studio Ninja to help you automate all your emails, send questionnaires and invoices and everything to your clients while you sleep. Use the promo code MBWF 50 to get 50% off your first year with Studio Ninja. Alrighty, that's it for the announcements. On to the show. And those of you astute listeners might have noticed it sounding a little bit different. We're doing the first podcast in person today for a long time. Today I've got Mr. Jesse Peters and Mr. Zach Dickinson. Jesse and Jesse Weddings and Flat Rock Films, respectively. And today, boys, just going to have a chat with the lads. Just chat about weddings, photo, video, dad life, work-life balance, the summer season ahead, what we've learned, what we're going into this season, how we're setting ourselves up to make sure we're not going to burn out, like I think we all did last summer. But yeah, basically we're just going to hang out, going to have a beer, a lovely...
Did some flat guy bring some Flat Rock Films cozy just
a
for
Flat Rock Films branded cozy with our brewskis.
Is that product placement, eh?
It's a product placement. But boys, cheers. Yeah, cheers. Thank cheers, you for coming on the show. Nice.
It's definitely 5 p.m. right now, isn't it?
It's definitely 5 p.m.
Not middle of the day.
not 12:30 on a Tuesday. Anyway, to get us started off, let's just run down the line alphabetically with some intros. Jesse, do you want to start us off? Give everyone a rundown on you and Jesse Weddings.
Yeah. Jesse and Jesse Weddings is a photography business run by my wife and I. Her name's Jesse, also, which is confusing and amazing at the same time. We've been running for 5 years now, and it's just been the most epic journey ever to do together with your wife. People don't say, you know, go into business with your partner, but I would argue that I think it's been the most amazing journey. And yeah, we love what we do and very excited for the season coming up.
Yeah, amazing. And we're going to talk more about the season ahead in a bit. But Zach, my friend, first time meeting you in person.
Yeah.
We've bounced around on the socials.
Chat on the old social. Yeah, I'm mentoring from Ben. Going, Ben, how can I do this? How can I do that? But yeah, I'm Zach from Flat Rock Films. This is coming up into my fourth season as a wedding videographer, teacher by trade. So I'm kind of on the way out of that, I think, with just how it's all going. But I want to bring life to weddings. I want my couples to watch their day back and go through all those emotions that they felt on that day. And point blank, I just want to rock up and party. That's what I want to do, just drink beers and be their uncle with a upgraded camera pretty much.
Amazing. I mean, like, the branded cozies do a lot to communicate the brand vision there. Amazing. Cool. Well, let's step back a bit, talk about last season for a second, because I think for
the
all of
joy
us,
that was
a bit fucking ruthless. Jesse, mate, how was last season for you?
Full on. Yeah. Amazing and full on. Look, I would preface before I get into the ins and outs of like how intense it was, the fact that I feel like we survived COVID. and I think we actually only lost two weddings.
Yeah.
I think we had about 60, over those 2 years, we had about 60 date postponements.
Wow. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. We had some couples we had over 100 emails with just in the, like, the lead up to the wedding. And so last year was this crazy kind of combination of not only weddings from the year before that are pushed out. So what was last year, 2023 season?
Yeah.
So weddings from the 21-22 year. So we had about 10 of those pushed in to the season. And you're like, that's cool. You know, that's all good. We can totally handle that. And we're kind of, you know, August, September going, cool, it's going to be this normal season. And then you get that October lockdown thrown in there, which we all know, like those lockdowns were like anxiety inducing. Like, I'm not a stressed person, but I'd be awake at 1 o'clock in the morning being like, am I just losing? Like, it's like money's just going like,
And it was that October one was tricky because it's like, it was short enough that everyone was like, we've already postponed once, we're not going to wait another year. We're going to cram it into a midweeker in February.
That's 100% just, what happened. So everyone from that October time just went, we're going to play it safe, we're going to push it out 3 months. So we had between January and April, I think something like 37 weddings.
What? From when?
Like January to April.
Wow. Yeah.
So I had, we had, this was the, actually most of it was structured really well, and there was just like what I call like the death month, and it was like three weekends of three weddings in a row, followed by a weekend of four weddings in a row. And we got through it, but man, that was intense. That was like full on. And I'm really proud of like what we produced through that time under that pressure. And to just be like, head down, we're going to get through this.
It could be so easy to go, right, oh, another one, and then just kind of just churn them out just without...
I think the headspace of being like, this is people's special day, and it's not a business. This is actually, you've got to turn up and actually love being part of your day. Like, you can't just turn up and kind of be like, this is another job, and it's really easy to do that. And so to do that, like, back to back to back to back to back.
And I felt for all, like, because I was teaching at the same time still, finished full-time last year, so I was 9 to 5 Monday to, you know, Monday to Friday. And so the anxiety of not getting money into my account to feed the family and pay rent, and that kind of wasn't there. But I all the people I was talking to, man, it was just, I was terrifying, like, you know. So I didn't have that many weddings. The only thing that kind of shot me in the foot was, again, like I said, you had those weddings that were pushed out from like 2 years ago.
And you can't say no. You're like, and here's the thing, like there was no animosity towards those couples in that time. It was like this, like, and credit to them, a lot of them were like, let's just get it done. And there was a lot of adapted weddings. Like we had small little ceremonies with, quite a few of them were receptions where they had like shot the ceremony. We'd done like a really small little ceremony and then we're doing the reception later. But yeah, that was a whirlwind of a year. I feel like I've just recovered from it.
Yeah.
Like I was saying the other day, a month ago.
Totally. And because the other thing, the other sort of context to throw it all in the mix of that is you would have had a one-year-old at the time.
Yeah, man.
Because we've all got dad life and Zach's got triple the dad life.
Three of them. One's walking the park, you know what you're talking about.
But like, how was that for you?
Kids the other.
Because I'm going to jump in and dive in on fucking Monday to Friday teacher life plus weddings with you in a second. Just a bit to sort of wrap up last season for you, just in the context of like struggling with the balance of that. Like, how was that whole experience for you?
I think what it's like saying with that, like, I'm really proud with how we handled that. We didn't have grandparents around, so that's another context. And if you've got kids, like, that's you know, Jesse's parents were still living in Hong Kong, mine live in the far north. And my dad has respiratory issues, so he was like, I'm not going anywhere near Auckland through that season. So we had this intense balance of like, Jessie would be at home with Louie throughout the weekend, and then I would be shooting weddings. And then she was actually, she did a majority of the editing last season. And so I would take him during the week. And it was just this. Oh, and we bought a house in that year as well.
Just to throw in the mix.
Yeah, that was full on. So yeah, balancing with the kid was hard. I think it was, I think the toughest thing for me was having to tune out to the family life and be like, I have to get this work done. Like there was this pressure like I've never felt before. And I think that on a personal note, that affected the family because I just, for these windows, I had to be like, I can't think about that, you know? So maybe a sense of like, tough for Jesse being stuck, you know, without the assistance. Glad in the way that being wedding photographer, you get to work from home. We choose to work from home so that our boy sees us, you know. And so I got to be with him during the week, which was amazing. But it doesn't take away from the fact that those times where I was like, you know, when you got three weddings back to back, you get up in the morning and you're like, I'm go. You get home. You got to back up. You're up till 12. You get up at the morning and 7, on to the next one. Yeah, so full on with the kid. But I think we came out feeling really proud of what we you know, I don't think he noticed, hopefully.
Well, it's the, at that age too where it's, yeah.
He's two.
Different again.
He's two now. He's two now. Yeah, just over two, but that was sort of.
So he's coming up to three.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But yeah, Zach, I want to hear from you now about, because like, I think for a lot of us, it's like that January to April period. It's just like, usually we're like shooting in the weekends and editing in the week, but it was just became like fucking free for all of like weekday weddings and back to back shooting and all sorts of shit. So how did you deal with that fucking, you know, October's locked down, everything fucking ramps up January to April. How did you deal with that time of like working Monday to Friday, trying to fit extra weddings in, shooting weekend work?
Well, like was, and unfortunately, like again, and COVID for me at that time, it was because I'm teaching PE at Kaipara. And so when the school was not open, we were all online learning, right? Mm. So there's not too much. I'm teaching year 9, 10 PE.
Yeah.
There's not too much stuff you can do.
Our kids, burpees.
Yeah. That's what I literally did. So I literally was, it actually gave me a bit more time because when I first started, I was Monday to Friday. And like, you know, being a PE teacher, you know, you could be one who sits on the sideline and goes, all right, guys, now it's volleyball. But how I approach life isn't like that. So I'm full in with the kids, like trying to show them up. And so when I work from 9 till 3, I'm all in, like just so much energy drains. And then you come home and then you've got three sprogs, 6, 4, and 3 or 2 it is. And so you want to be that dad right there and then, but you've also got that thing in your head, man. You got to work, you got to get these weddings done, you know, that kind of stuff. So I'd come home from teaching and then I'd be dad as best as I could, or I might go in for like a, get home at like 3:30, go for like an hour, just get some kind of minor stuff done, come and be dad, you know, that kind of stuff. And then once our kids were down, going, babe, I've got to go again and
burn
go
out
to,
oil.
Yeah, back out to 8 o'clock till like 12. Yeah. So for COVID for me, that kind of changed a little bit where I told all my kids, hey guys, Mr. D's online, 9 o'clock, did a full-on Zoom workout for like half an hour. And then that was out of the way. And because I was just teaching the same year 9 classes, year 10 classes, they all just chimed in. And then I was able to kind of get my head around editing. But still, it's still stuff now. I was only like just delivered my weddings from last year, just like a month ago. It just kind of kept on snowballing. So, and at that point, after that last season, I knew something was going to break. Like it was either going to be my kids, you know, or the
Russian women. It was a looming feeling, being like, it's just like,
so gnarly. Yeah. And like, and it's, you only know what you know as well. Like I remember, every parent says it, you know, I've got my mates that are in that realm now with their first kid and they're kind of like, it's tough. And of course it's tough because it's such a huge life change, you know, and all of a sudden the you're kind of, key to what you do is for that little person, right? That's the kind of all you're working towards is for them. And it's so draining, but no one really tells you that. You
know? And mega intentional, right? It's like you don't just coast through it. Like you've got to be present and you've actually got to be checking in with it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is exhausting because you're learning like every week is like.
I think the key thing for us as well, like we like my wife, she's doing a few little side hustles here and there, but from the outset, like she's gonna be a mum and she's gonna be home with the kids. Not that old school way of thinking, but that's just how, you know, she is one of those mums who was just one of those girls who was just born to be a mum, and you know, she's fantastic. I know I've got, you know, even people that I know who couldn't leave and be away on these weekends knowing that Kate's at home, you know, she's so good at what she does. She's such a good mother, and knowing that I can be away and she's just super chilled, super relaxed, got it all under control to a certain point with the three of them until fights start happening. But she's a massive, massive reason why I was able to cope to an extent. Because I've got to go. She's like, yeah, sweet, you know, gritting her teeth going, all right, where you go? You know, I'll go and do dinner and that kind of stuff again. But that's what it is.
I definitely felt that with the last season of it, just feeling like just really consciously knowing like this is not optimal state right now. We're just going to get through this.
100% right. Then, you know, but it's survival,
like,
right?
Yeah, it was total survival and total like because, again, like we weren't fully set up with daycare yet last summer.
We were the same.
So we were the same. We were doing like – and both Michaela and I were trying to balance, but like Michaela's doing her PhD, I'm doing my stuff. So we're trying to like take turns looking after Milo. You end up working evenings. It was.
And your productivity I learned a lot about what I need to be productive in that season.
Yeah.
Like I learned a lot about what was counterproductive in the way that I work. Because you actually didn't have any fluff time.
No. Yeah.
It was like and done.
There was no, you know? there was no wiggle room. There was no safety net.
There was no, like, you know, because a lot of people kind of, it's funny, eh? Like, and I don't know whether you guys have this, but people talk to me as a wedding photographer and go, oh, you do this full time. Oh, man, what do you do in the downtime?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, what downtime?
Yeah.
It's a constant struggle.
You know? And I think people, And so it was like finding those little windows of work and being like, I need to actually deliver this. Yeah. Like, I need to get stuff done. Yeah. While still delivering, and this is the tricky thing, is still delivering, and this is what last year's challenge was delivering the work that you're proud of.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, balancing that, like, quality versus wait time for those couples.
Yeah.
Like, that was sort of one of the questions I wanted to ask was, like, how did you guys manage the expectation of the delayed, well, delivery times with your couples?
We actually didn't have a delayed delivery time. But last season we were lucky because Jessie was editing.
Yep.
So I was shooting most of the weddings.
Yeah.
She was editing.
Yeah.
So I could come away from a wedding and the next day I would take Louis and she could go. And she's like, she's had him all weekend. So she's like, I want to do something else.
Yeah.
So she'd be rearing to edit. So that balance was, last year was actually okay.
Yeah.
There was one or two where we it was like on those condensed weekends where we had to push it out and our couples were really good about it.
Yeah.
We're normally within 6 to 8 weeks, which is a lot shorter than video.
That's the thing. I think the videographers had it a little tougher on the delivery. Yeah,
and
times,
your editing's so. Like.
And that, yeah, and that's so the. As I was kind of coming in, it was my second season or third season. So that first season, I was editing how I thought everyone wanted me to edit, you know? And I wasn't kind of going out of my comfort zone or I, from what I'd seen, like all the American stuff and the Australian stuff and da da da.
Yeah.
And then once I had my style and people were paying me for that style, that fast pace. Like when I get to a nice relaxed soft music now, I can kind of put like a shot on for like more than 3 seconds. I'm like, oh, this is so nice. One here. So because my approach changed, and I guess as creatives, you know, and I hope, you know, I think you got one of the questions later on about like what's the end game. I think the end game is when you're not passionate about what you're doing, you're not trying to better yourself with each edit, then it's time to kind of hang up the coat. But like, because I was in there, I want to get better. So I would like fixate on certain things. And like my edit times were so long. Because they were paying for like 5 minutes. I was giving like 11 minutes long.
Yeah.
Because I wanted everyone to kind of see it and get that business.
Yeah, two so and three.
How did you manage that with the couples? To be like, to sort of communicate to them like, hey, I'm rather than just pushing out shit quickly to you, I'm going to take the time it's going to take. Fucking ages.
Yeah, and they were always really good about it. So what I'd do is I would email them when I started the process. It was kind of like a 10-day turnaround for me when I started the process. And I would make a little group chat on Instagram or Messenger. Mm. And as I'm going through my culling, I would just start getting all excited again. Yeah. Like just hold my phone up and go, hey, guys, check out this part.
Yeah.
Record that to them. Yeah. Like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Then I'd make sure every time I came to something new, oh, look at, you know, Jesse's saying this part now. And then it's kind of start to feed. And that's what I do on my socials too. If I just kind of grab something and I just, as long as it's kind of, and they make their little groups. I had like a couple of wedding who they had a whole wedding group for the wedding party.
Mm.
So there's about 12 in the chat and I was just firing like all the comical stuff from the from the day. And it was just kind of building that hype again. And then they got the group in the chat started talking. So then when I delivered, they were like,
there's a bit of a buzz about it. You're really good at doing that.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing I picked up on having worked with you was that stuff.
Mm.
Really cool. Yeah.
Good at building the hype.
Just a shit yarns, you know.
But almost this like, and this is a plug for you and your business. Ben's had plenty of exposure on this platform. No.
It's my own fucking podcast. I need to promote myself on here.
Is that like, I think coming fresh, and I was saying this before we even started, like you came into this industry as a teacher.
Mm.
And I think as a PE teacher, you've already got the ability to like command a crowd and actually, you know, you've got a room full of teenagers, you've got, you know. But this like, you kind of didn't give a shit about what else was being done in the wedding industry. You're like, this is how I want to do it. And it was this like super raw, like I came away from that and the first time we worked, I came away being like, holy crap, like you're smashing it.
Appreciate it.
You know? And I could see, like, that was your first season, right?
Think after that first season, because I was so cheap as well, I think I remember the point where I remember the turning point of I was on the right track. It was from Bottle Brush. Mm. And I had an inquiry into Melbourne, and I couldn't eventually go because of COVID, but it was like, you know, Melbourne wedding. I went, first of all, I jumped out of my seat going, babe, someone wants you to fly to Melbourne and shoot this wedding. Looking down, like, reading all the things, and I said, how'd you hear about me? And it was recommended by Bottle Brush. And I went, fuck, are you kidding me? Yeah. Like, so if those guys are so good at what they do, if they can recommend some little fella from New Zealand, I'm going, sweet. Well, this is who I am now, and this is what I'm doing. Because you're always backing yourself. It's always hard to kind of tell yourself what you're doing is good, or people are liking it. But then when you get some big dogs like that going,
the affirmation's pretty cool, right?
Yeah. So then it was just, no, sweet.
Yeah. So I want to kind of look forward now and sort of just, but based on what we've just been yarning about, what are we going to change for this coming season? Have we changed anything deliberately? Is there stuff that you've learned from, like you were saying, Jesse, around like how you work and how you're productive and what works for you and what doesn't? Is there anything that you've deliberately changed for this summer that's about to kick off?
For us, not lots, probably from what our couples see. But in terms of the back end and processes, I think being through that really ruthless season taught me to be a lot more kind of ruthless in terms of my workflow and things like that. And sometimes less is more, you know, like that whole thing, like you're delivering 11 minutes, but it's like, actually, if you're delivering 6 minutes, like you want that to be really punchy, you know? Yeah. And I'm a full people pleaser, which makes me good at my job.
Yeah.
But sometimes I feel like I can overproduce and not refine.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm coming into year five now, I feel like there's a lot of refinement in what I'm doing. And I'm really proud of that, like really proud to be at that point where I'm like confident enough to do that. Mm. And know that we've had a track record that, like, I think before there was a lot of proving ground. I had a lot of like imposter syndrome starting as a wedding photographer, like a lot.
Yeah.
I think everyone does.
And everyone does. And and even the best people had that, right? Yeah. And so, but I think coming into year four and five, it was like, you've got that track record.
Yeah.
And we kind of found our little niche.
Yeah.
And, I think our work stands out. But it's, it's not crazy different.
I
think we've found a little niche that we're really proud of. And so it's just refining that a little bit more.
Yeah.
How do we do better? How do we do better? As you're saying, if you're not improving.
Yeah.
You know, and so going, how do I deliver this season's weddings that's like a step up from next year?
Yeah.
You know, and looking at those little things. A lot of it's the back end. A lot of it's that like...
The process afterwards.
Efficiency and workflow stuff. So is there anything in particular that you've adjusted? Have you like gone through and like, I don't know, fine-tuned your CRM or...
Mate, you're going to love this. Also, I'm really bummed because you have a Studio Ninja code.
Yeah.
So... I can't use mine. but
why don't you go plug in your own Studio Ninja code?
I was like, oh man, I can mention on here, I'll get a discount. Like, damn it, he's already. But off the bat, and this isn't just because they're a sponsor, I was like, that's totally convenient. And it is something I want to talk about today. Was I don't know if you've even, do you deal with Scene Studio Ninja?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That has been the most amazing baseline platform for our business.
Yeah.
In terms of keeping everything in one place, in terms of being professional, because it's really easy when you start out as self-employed to be like, oh, I'm, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, thank goodness for Canva or Canva,
because
some people would, in terms of like producing and voicing that actually look, PDFs that look tidy. Yeah. But in terms of the whole process of coming across professional to your couples, like nobody wants to be hiring someone that say they're spending $5,000 and they're like, their processes and their questionnaires they're sending and stuff come across super, like unprofessional or in, like in a little, just a little email.
Yeah.
And so for us off the bat, that actually, so in terms of like custom management, like I feel like we've had that down pat from like almost day one.
Yeah.
Like I think we started with Studio Ninja in our first year.
Yeah.
And yes, there's some refinements in there for sure. Mm. The platform allows you to kind of refine without having to like stress about design and, and all of that stuff. So that's my plug, but I'm a big fan.
It does, even does like the small things like you completely forget about, and also does stuff that like, I hate hate asking for money, right? Like, it's just one of those things you don't. Hey,
automatic.
It just, hey, right. Yeah. It just comes through.
And, like, stuff like, and then I can preface it. And then I can preface that. Someone will go, "Oh my gosh, sorry, we haven't paid." I'm like, "Don't worry, that was an automatic payment reminder. Yeah, like, just in the next week is fine." So you can come across real chill. Yeah, but actually, like, someone's doing the direct, you know. I'm the same. Like, if someone, I don't want to be that person that hounds for money. No. But it kind of has. But when it comes across professional, people don't take the piss. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're really loose, people are loose with you. Whereas if you're straight to the point and actually, anyway, I back it. Mm. But in terms of CRM, not so much.
What's CRM?
Customer management.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. Student Ninja, basically. So that in a nutshell is totally sold. But there's definitely some refinements this year. But I feel like you have to do that. Every year you need to look and go, like, how do we do better at this?
Yeah.
I want to look, I've been looking at my process heaps recently and being like, am I giving my couples as much, like, I like being involved. A big part of my process is being involved with them up to the wedding. I really can't stand just, like, I can't turn up to a wedding day.
And who's the groom or who's?
It's so hard. Because if you wanted to capture their day in an authentic way, which I think we're kind of all on that same buzz, and hopefully most wedding photographers are, and videographers. But, like, part of that process is going, am I getting as much information out of my lead up to the wedding as possible? Because it's really easy when you're shooting. And last season was a real key one. Like, I had weddings last season where, just because of COVID and because I planned the wedding like 3 years ago with the couple, I was turning up being like, or in the week up to, I was like, I can't remember any information about it. Not a bad thing because you're still delivering a good job. But personally, I want to feel like I know my couples and I want to feel like I'm able to connect with them. And so I think last year, it's almost like putting a few safeguards in place and questioning my process. So I've added a couple more steps in and reminders. Being like, check in about this, check in about that. And that's probably a really big thing on last year. So if we have another one of those, for God forbid we don't.
You've just got more stopgaps in place to make sure you've got the information you need when you need it and that that you are as connected with your couples without having to just mentally keep across.
I think as well, the whole connection thing is, it's huge. I mean, this whole industry is based off, for me, it's based off relationships, right? So there's so many transferable skills from being a teacher into this, in this industry. I think that's why I'm being so successful is because as a teacher, the more energy you give out to your students, the more you get back. And the sooner you can build a relationship with the kid in the classroom, they're going to like, I'm all in. Same thing with these couples, that the sooner you can kind of get on board and understand them, because I'm trying to tell their story, and there's so much narrative with film. Like, I'm now starting to dig up, okay, so, like, I don't like to turn up on the day and go and find, I mean, you kind of go in with a kind of game plan, but I was at a wedding the other week, and again, it was one of those ones where it was a wedding planner had organized it, and I rocked up, and the story was so amazing, but I didn't quite understand it until the speeches were kind of going out, and I was like, oh man, I wish I had more time to go and get that shot of that person or that person. So, like, I'm even asking. I said, if they're comfortable with it, I'm asking for vows this season. Hey, can you send me your vows so I can read over them? So if there's anything I can pick up, and you can pick up so much from their vows and the way they're writing, you might find some insight there.
But almost, I feel like sometimes people don't question if you go, I need this. This is part of my workflow. They just go, okay, because I've got to write them eventually.
You know, and, like, I'm hunting for, like, because we've, you know, I'm hunting for all old footage and, you know, even Facebook videos and family videos and all that kind of stuff. The more I have to tell that story, because, like, I even put a, it was like a 2 second clip of, I did these twins, and obviously one twin, the girl, was talking about her sister, and, like, it was only the two of them. And, like I said, since day dot, we've been, you know, inseparable, you know. And as a father, I'm like, oh my gosh, am I already crying behind the thing? And then I said, I need a shot of them when they're younger. Emailed, hey, look, can I get some video stuff of you guys? Sent it through, and it was only 5 seconds, but I said, how was the video? I said, oh my gosh, it was amazing. That one part we had us in when we were bouncing on the bed, my mum absolutely lost the plot, you know? And that's all I'm kind of, and I think, again, being a dad almost changes the way I've filmed as well. Because when I edit now, I think of what the couple want to see, but I also think about what do their grandkids want to see in 20 years. Like, when they put on the click, let's watch mum and dad's or grand and grandpa's wedding from 20 years ago, what do they want to see and what do they want to hear? And that's a real big big motivator for how I piece the day together.
Completely changes it, right? Because having a kid, for me, having a kid in the middle of being a wedding photographer, I think it's completely changed my perception. For sure.
Like I'm terrified of having to walk my daughter down the aisle or having to speak. I'm just going to be an emotional, like dads get me, brothers get me. Like when I'm editing, I have to stand up sometimes and push back and go, I can't do this right now. And I'll go and play with my kids, you know, and it's you kind of, I mean, it's because you get into this day where you're with this family, and that's why you're such a fortunate job that we do, you know. People are like, oh, when are you going to start doing real estate? And when are you going to start doing? I'm like, it's not me. I'm not giving something back to a group of people that are going to cherish you know, not corny word, but they're going to love it forever, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And is there anything from, like, as a teacher as well that you've sort of, has given you an extra sort of perspective towards, I don't know, storytelling or capturing things for families or, you know, anything like that?
I think so. Like, obviously, I taught primary school for 7 years, so I taught kids how to write stories, you know. So I literally, when I start my story, I have a whiteboard as big as that window there, and I put my couples in the middle, and as I'm writing, I'm standing there whiteboarding, brainstorming the story out completely before I even start the tools, you know. I go, well, yeah, again, what's the meat of the story here? Yeah, who are the main characters? Mm. You know, what's the storyline? And making sure there's that flow to it. But in terms of like it being connected from the family sense, not so much. I just think, you know, as a primary school teacher, you want the creativity to be the main part of it instead of just ticking boxes, which is a big thing I've learned as well this year. Like, I thought I had to get every single speaker in because everyone needs to have their time on the camera.
Yeah.
I'm like, this year, I'm like, guys, I'm really sorry, but I can't have Auntie Sheena yarning about this because it just doesn't.
And if it doesn't add to the story, but man, is it hard to cut that stuff out. It's hard to have the almost the authority.
Yeah.
Mm. Maybe not authority is the right word, but to like be able to cut stuff out and go, this actually detracts from the story of you, who you guys are.
Yeah.
Real hard to do.
Yeah, and I think again, like that whole process for me is just, you know, into my fourth season now. It's just changed so much. Like now, like before, I'd come home because I'm not going to do any more back-to-backs this season, just because it's so much for me. It's so much energy on the day. You know, photographers rock up with two cameras and like, hey, what's up, you know? But it's so much energy. And again, I don't want to be leaving the kids again. I want to come home and be with the kids as much as possible, you know? So there's that part of it. And then also, like last season, I'll just come in and go, yes, I'll deal with it soon. I'll deal with it in a few days, and then stuff has start happening, and you kind of go. So now I'm like, right, I'm in, cards open. The next morning, wake up, bang, like, let's get all files all sorted, and then just start to pick away at all the good bits, watch everything back, speeches, watch them all back. So I do that for like 2 days, 3 days, and then get all that stuff done, even like the exporting parts. So as I'm kind of culling through, like, you know, girls getting ready, boys getting ready, I'll go through the whole thing, pull up my good bits of the bride, of the wedding party, whatever, and then go, right, export. And then export the whole 20 minutes or whatever it is for the girls getting ready. Just one less thing I don't have to stress about at the end.
Yeah. The discipline for that, though, for me is something I've always struggled with, because I, after watching TikTok, now realize I've got ADHD and have a very short attention span. I do well being able to sit down and do a task from start to finish. And like I feel more soft and squishy and comfortable if I can start a wedding film and then finish it and then move on to the next one.
Yeah.
The idea of like doing, you know, you get home and then the next day you do some like roughing out on this wedding, and then the next day you got to shoot another one, and then you got to sort of keep jumping back and forth between these different films, these different edits, these different storylines and stuff, stresses me out. But at the same time, I am very aware of like the benefits of that, because for the couples at the start of the season, easy. Yeah. I'm editing their film and my brain's in it.
Yep.
I'm trying to edit a couple who I shot in April, and I'm opening the project files in fucking October.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
who are
these people? What speeches were said? What? Yeah. You know? So that's something that I'm definitely going to address going into this season is much more of a kind of just fragmented is not the right word, but a kind of just going, it's okay to just like start something, put a pin in it, and then move on to the next thing, and know that you'll get back to it, and know that you've actually done some, you've got all those sort of fresh thoughts and ideas that will evaporate. You've already sort of locked those in, and then you can put it away for a while.
When I drive home from a wedding, I always just put my phone on, voice recorder, and go, right.
And you just brain dump.
Just brain dump, right, so-and-so, so-and-so, that couple was there, you know, they really enjoyed this, you know, the dad said a really funny joke about this.
Such a teacher.
Yeah, such a teacher.
Yeah, this and is the how cool is that?
So, like, I was the worst student ever, you know, but like, for me, it's like I do that on the way home, and then it's, I label it, and then when I go and start the edit again, I pick it up, and I go, right, what'd you say?
Is that stuff you picked up from being a teacher, being like, because you've got a class of, say, I don't know, 20 or 30, right? 30. And you've got a kind of 30, I don't know.
20 in Hong Kong. Yeah,
that'd be nice, eh? Nice. Yeah, private schools in Hong Kong, eh? And you've actually got to remember kids' information.
Yeah.
And actually, like, and I wonder whether, like, hearing you say that, it's like, oh my gosh, you've picked those skills up along the way.
I even take a screenshot of them during the Zoom meet.
Yeah.
Screenshot, then put it by the date.
Yeah.
So I've got a photo of the couple there. Because you talk to them, and then all of a sudden you go, right, okay, I've got Peter and Chad this weekend. Who are they again? And you're like, oh, I go emails, right? You try on Instagram, where are they?
I use the sneaky. I do, like, when my couple's in quiet, I do
social media.
I fully do a social media stalk.
Oh yeah.
And then I'll often screenshot that, which is kind of creepy in a way. Yeah. But it's like,
I didn't do that before. Like, now I do it, because if I go through, you know, Instagram, and I go, you know, I don't think I'm going to be able to produce, you know, what you guys want. Or, you know, you can pull so much up from Instagram and Facebook and that kind of stuff.
This is a really interesting one, right? Because I feel like you have your, and as you develop and as you grow, right, and you're a lot deeper into this more than us, but finding your niche of couples is really important as a brand and, you know, because I think that's when you deliver your best work. Yeah. When you go, and for you, it's like you want people that you don't want boring weddings. Sometimes you book a wedding,
the most fun wedding ever,
100%. Like there was a couple of weddings this last season, and I was completely thrown, bro. This one wedding where I was like, they were super young, Christian couple. I come from Christian circles, so Christians get married really young, typically, and I kind of went into it just being a bit like, oh, it's another Christian.
Yeah.
Couple, I feel like I know the narrative.
Yeah,
I bawled my eyes in that wedding, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it rattled me, and it still rattles me to this day how much I was moved by. And this young couple, like, they were 21, and I just was like, and talking about that whole thing of like delving deeper into their backgrounds, I remember being at the ceremony being like, I wish I knew more about you, about your whānau, about your history, and the story you've got. And the reality is, you don't get it. I mean, they didn't quite let me into that anyway. So I'd kind of done some digging, but they hadn't really like let that out.
Mm.
But man, those ones surprise you. So that's the tricky thing, because being like, you can do a...
Yeah.
I feel like you do your general scan, and you can and you'll lose some in that, right? You'll go, sometimes you go, this isn't quite a good fit.
Yeah.
And then someone else shoots it, and you go, oh my gosh, that was actually perfect. But you have to do your due diligence, because you can't shoot every wedding.
No.
Because for one, it's like... Yeah, you have to pick your niche and delve into that.
First dry wedding.
I've had a couple.
But it was just like the coolest.
Yeah.
Best thing about it was there's no like just wasted as people just heckling the speeches like at 9 o'clock. And boys, have some waters. Come on, please. Yeah. You know, it was actually quite cool.
Because there's another side to the party side where people.
Yeah.
I had a couple that did some lines before their. Before their golden hour photos.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
And I felt like I was taking photos of, like...
Toddlers.
I think I told you this the other day.
Wow.
And obviously it's this unspoken thing, because we don't talk, you know, I don't personally do drugs, but, you know, we dealt with that a little bit in our job, because it's a celebration.
Mm.
But sometimes you have these weddings where people are just on the downside. It's like, you want people to party, but also, like, you don't want to be...
Because then it goes downhill real quick, and then it's because at the end of the day, like, you're capturing, then it's like, do you want this
hard out.
Preserved Really?
Yeah. Like my tagline is, you'll one day want to show your grandkids how cool you really were.
Yeah.
Not that cool, mate. You know, rein in just a little bit.
And that's like, you know, we've got this thing where, you know, we really have pushed into this sort of, we want to push into that like high-end editorial documentary style photography, and that's where a lot of our inspiration comes from. But I'm not about, and how to discover, like, I'm not about two cool people. I can't be there for that. I want the high-end weddings, but I almost don't want the high-end attitude.
That's a really interesting balance.
It's a funny one to, and that's probably a big thing with this year, is like delving a little more into my couples and understanding them.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing going forward for this year, is knowing as much as I can about these couples before I hit the ground running.
Yeah.
And then again, you come in and you've got that relationship already, you understand. And again, I think also talking to the family members heaps. I focused a lot on that last year, even more so this year, like talking to mum and dad off camera, having yarns.
Yeah.
You know, I get there nice and early as well, so I can do that. Like last year I had my set hours, and now I'm like, you know what, I'm in for the day. Like as long as it takes me to get what I need and the story. Yeah. Because I come in at 9 o'clock, 9:30, and everyone's kind of chilled. I can have a yarn to old Trevor, you know, and just having a chat to him, and you get so much insight to the story there. And then you talk to the sister or the friend. Again, just building up that foundation of layers you can pull out, and that's what I'm up for. I don't want to go all in, because sometimes I like to go down, like if there's things going on the Friday night. You know, I've got a few this season where I'm like, yeah, I'll rock up and I'll come down and have a beer with everyone on the Friday night, and just bring my camera and just shoot some stuff. And then the biggest thing is just letting everyone know that, hey, this is me. I'm not going to change tomorrow. I'm just going to have my camera here. And so you're really building those relationships and like names, people's names. Again, it's huge for me. Like, I've worked with some people, you know, some photographers. Some people. But for me, I get to like 5 o'clock, and like I've worked with some people, and they're like, "Hey, groomsman." I'm like, "Man, his name's Mike. His name's Mike." Like, do your research beforehand, because Mike's gonna go, "Hey, Mike, you're right. Give me some action." He's like, "Hey, Zeki," you know, and that's what you want. So it doesn't happen all the time, but like those, again, it goes back to the kids. Like, if you know a kid's name, it's the goal. Like, they, you know, always
the
looking like,
there.
Oh man, like I've got a big thing about parents. Like, I work really hard to get the parents on side
100%
straight away. Mumsies, like, they're top dogs, right? So when you walk into the reception, if you can go up and shoulder up to old Suzanne, "Hey Suzanne, how you going?" Everyone else sees, "Oh shit, Zach knows Suzanne, like, look how well he knows them."
It diffuses stuff.
Everyone's going, "Sweet, Zach's all good. He's in the family, you know." Yeah. So, and then everyone else is just way more relaxed when you put your camera up. Like, hey,
It's cool that you can delve into, like, as a photographer, and you know, that you can delve into that next level. Sometimes we're limited a little in terms of that storytelling of that history stuff. Yeah. But 100%, right? And interestingly, this season, one non-negotiable thing I've been doing, because a classic thing that, it's classic within wedding photographer circles is, and I guess you guys see this from an outside perspective, is the family photo time.
Yeah.
Everyone has this joke that family photos is like, oh, it's the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
For one, I love it. I think it's fun and it's chaotic.
Yeah.
But I have this non-negotiable with my couples, and I go talk to your parents about who they like photos with.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't until I had Louis that I think about the people that surround us
now
at our wedding, and I'm like, I want to invite them to my kid's wedding.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear couples be like, oh, you know, mum and dad want photos of this. And I'm like, actually for them, it's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You're their everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that respect for the parents, I feel like, goes that extra step that shows honour to the couple, but also to the parents and the history there.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how much, when you do that, how much the parents let their guard down and how much they give you.
Well, it's even like, again, last season I stopped doing something, right, because it was too much work and too much time. I was filling my SD cards up too much. So I bought new more SD cards. And so I would sit down and have these chats, especially with the mums. Like, I'd ask the parents, "Hey, who's speaking? You know, mums aren't speaking. I need to talk to Susan. I need to talk to Tracy." And I sit down with them, because, like, in our generation, I don't know about you guys, but like, my mum raised us pretty much. You know, it was the mothers who were there doing all that kind of stuff. And so they're the ones who know the insides and outs of these kids. Yet they have not, you know, besides ironing a few shirts and steaming a few dresses, they sit down and they're kind of quietish, you know. They might do a reading at the ceremony, but the reading's not their voice.
Yeah.
And so many times I put the camera on the mum and go, hey, look, Susan, your little boys get married.
Yeah.
And it's just poof, just bang. And I'm like, in my hand, I'm like, I'm crying behind the camera going, look at you. But like in my, I'm just thinking, this is exactly what I wanted. And the biggest thing is I do it with the dads too.
Mm.
And I shot a wedding the other week and the dad during his speech in front of everyone, like hand in his pocket, like, I'm the dad, I've got to talk, And I got him, I always ask the bride or the groom or the couple, whatever it is, hey, is your dad going to be okay to talk, like one-on-one? And they go, yeah, let's go over here. I was like, sweet. So we kind of pull up. They're not in their suit. You know, they're just mulling around. Hey, let's go grab a chair. We sit down and those same words, hey, your little girls get married. Boof. And you can see it in their eyes. And I say, look, you can just talk as honest as you want. It's just me and you. It might make the edit. It might not. This is just a keepsake for the couple that they might look back on in 20 years. So just like, we'll just have a yarn. And I think, again, being a teacher, and obviously teacher is a job where you're engaging with people all the time. So, yeah, I've got this whole rah-rah, you know, flare up with them, but I'll still pull back and go, hey, man, your little girls get married. And it's just like, sometimes you should be right, you know, Mike's going to look after it, but a lot of the time you go, yeah, and it kind of hits them. It hits them. And I think, like, also, again, just finding myself, you know, 10 years, you know, we're still a bit fresher. Like, I was still quite unsure of myself on those first few seasons. Like, just kind of shadowing the photographer and going, hey, mate, can I get a couple of shots now? Like, is that all right? Like, coming to the season, I know what I need. I know what I'm about. You know, I'm rocking up just as I am, not wearing long pants and all the kind of stuff. I'm going to come and be me.
Authentic.
Yeah, and that's what I want to do. So that's really a big part of how I want to be this season too. I had another thought, but it's gone from my head.
Yeah.
I love that. Damn, that's good though.
That's amazing.
Oh, no,
yeah, I love that. It's like you've got this, this confidence and this authenticity to just be like, this is what I'm about. This is what I'm doing. And knowing what you do need, what you don't need, and like taking steps to do that. I think it's fucking great. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to pay some bills. We're going to come back. I've got a couple more questions for the boys and we'll jump back in.
Studio Ninja is the world's highest rated studio management software. It contains a huge suite of tools from calendar integration and double booking warnings to contract templates and automated client workflows. If you want more time to focus on the creative parts of being a wedding filmmaker and less time on admin, then why not take 50% off when you sign up with the promo code MBWF50 and get your first year of Studio Ninja for as little as $125 US.
Cool. And we're back. And we're fucking inside because someone's decided to do their lawns next door. So here we are, the joys of podcasting. Anyway, boys, carrying on from what we were just talking about off air. I kind of want to talk now about the season ahead, what we've got planned, the bookings and stuff, and how you guys have managed the, you know, like not booking these back-to-backs and not doing as much travel and trying to like get back some of that work-life balance and sort of stuff, because it's the kind of thing that I struggle to say. No, I struggle to have the confidence to be super intentional about going, I'm not going to book that back-to-back because I know I'll book another one. You know, and I've ended up with more back-to-backs this season and more travel and stuff that I like tried, you know, like part of me like knows what I should be doing. And then it's the other thing of just like not having the confidence to back yourself on that. So, How have each of you boys sort of just like go about backing yourself on those decisions that you want to make for yourself?
I think my summer's been booked up for a while now, and it was just kind of adding on one or two here or there. So I kind of saw my window, and I would dive if there's a back to back, for example, I'll dive deep into that one that was being backed up. Okay, where is it in relation to my one beforehand? If it's in Auckland, like Murawai, Waikiki, sweet, that's easy. You know, I'm sleeping in the same bed. You know, but if it's like Queenstown, then Wellington, or like flights, I'm not going to do it this year. That was my kind of
push. The only reason I changed, if the couple kept coming back at me, what more can we do? What else can we do? You know, so then I was like, right, so these guys actually really, really want me to do that. It's not like, oh, we want Flat Rock or we're just trying to find a videographer. They really want to go out of their way to make it work. Hey, I've had some couple say, hey, our wedding doesn't start till 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Can you get there for like midday? I'm like, you know what? Fuck it, I'm coming. So that's why I'm back to back. I've got where I'm in Queenstown, I'm coming up and I land. And I go straight away.
But you you preface that, right?
Yeah,
and you
say,
look, I have to preface this because there is a chance that flight's delayed and I have to call another videographer to come and film for you. Like there's just, I think you have to meet, like that's one thing I learned in this last, especially with COVID. Man, we had like, and I don't know about you guys, I had 3 backup photographers just in case.
Yeah.
Got COVID or something happened or flights were cancelled or like, you know, and I think learning to be cautious but also have backup plans and figure all that out was like real important. But that logistical thing for sure, right?
Because it's not just that that date, it's also okay, you're packing away all your gear, like you got a flight at 4, you're packing away at like midday, you know, you're spending with the kids, all right, but I've got to go, then you're at the airport and you're flying, you're landing, you come back and you're just exhausted, right? So we've got this, you know, obviously got my big calendar out, and like Kate, we do the camping over the summer. I love that we do camping, like as much as I hate putting the tent up, and I'll talk to Kate, babe, like when we're going away, can we just make sure that we look at where I'm going to be, because I want to go away with the kids, but if I've just travelled from Queenstown, I'm back, hey, now we're going to get in the car to drive 4 hours to Waihee or the mountain. I'm like, oh, you know, I want to be there, but I just don't have that same excitement. So now we're going away, but I've got a wedding in Pāhonui. Let's take the kids down for a 3-day camping prior. You know, so get down on the Wednesday, have like 3 days, and I'll just go and shoot, and I'll come back. You know, that sort of stuff that we're trying to do more of this year.
Yeah.
It's just teeing around those family times around those weddings, or seeing it as an opportunity. Like we've got one in Fiji, and I was like, fuck, okay, I want to get the kids there to come.
Yeah.
But we've said no to the kids, and now my wife's just coming for the first time. Yeah. So 7 years.
Oh, how cool.
Just me and Kate are going.
Wow. Yeah.
I've got to teach you how to use a camera, so that would be interesting. But just trying to make them work.
You just put it on, why don't you get it like on dad cam, like old Panasonic dad cam.
Yeah. It will be, it's just trying to find how it works. And I think also I stuffed up last week where I had a couple come to me, the one that I was talking to you about.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, the story, it's not the story is amazing, but I'd worked with the family before, so I was really keen to, you know, gain payback to them or
make it work.
Make it work for them. And then my wife came home from pick up whatever, and I was like, babe, I got a new wedding on the 24th, and just like, Zach, we're in Onimana for Van's birthday. We're going down to the Hot Rod Show. I was like, oh. So I had to call the couple up again and say, sorry, I cannot do it. I've got my boys. So just kind of making sure that as much as I want to work, those things that are not once in a lifetime, but your boy only turns 5 once, and I want to be in for that. So I give Kate my calendar, and then she just comes in, just blocks out big black thing. You can't book here because we're away here. So
family calendar's key.
But in saying that, last year we did like 3 or 4 trips, and as exhausting as it was to kind of pack all the gear up after being away and traveling, it was so nice being camping, and even more so than camping at Airbnb. There's no place to put my computer open. There was no phones out. It was just evidence away. I'm there with the Sprogs. It was cool.
We just bought a pop-top camper.
Oh, sick.
Pick it up next week.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah. Nice. We got like one of those big canvas ones.
Yeah.
Those camp canvas ones. That
cannot wait.
Awesome.
That whole thing of, not an Airbnb.
Yeah.
I think it changes with the family a little bit, but it's that like, take that time. So we booked in, I think it's 5 weekends. We just picked any weekend that I didn't have a wedding booked.
Yeah.
And I was like, blotted out family weekend. Yeah. And so 4 days were going away.
Nice.
And real excited for the season to just know that there's those things booked in there. Otherwise, I probably would have booked weddings.
That's the thing. And so it's, is it a case of like running the numbers and going, okay, we can afford X amount of weekends and this is how we're going to balance it? Or is it a bit more just like, look, we're going to just like, this is what we want, and we're just going to make it work around that.
I think it's about filling your cup, man. Like, you know, it's about making sure that you are still like, you don't want to go into these weddings as like a zombie and like it's a drained person. Yeah. Like being a young dad, I think, you know, what fills your cup is that time, as frustrating as it is sometimes, is with your nippers, you know. So gone are the, you know, again, you guys at the start of that that adventure, but like gone are the days where you catch up with your mates all the time on the weekend. Those things kind of, you go for a surf here and there, and but a lot of the kind of cup filling that comes from those times with the family, especially over summer, you know, like you're going fishing in the creek, or you're taking the, you know, the kids for to the beach.
And actually, so that's a real big point. So that has, so last season was such a heavy Jan through April for me. Weirdly, this season is really heavy from like I've just started now. So I've already shot three weddings in the last week. Up until December, really busy. I've got like Feb's kind of busy, and then after that, it's really chill. And I've gone, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Because my favourite time of year is March through May. For one, the surf's really good. But it's just kind of everything's calmed down. And I'm like, why don't I intentionally almost put some non-negotiables in there? Yeah, you can fit a wedding here or there, but just put that blotted time, you know, and so it's like definitely being a bit more intentional about going, you know, when do we want to take this time to go away and actually do it?
Yeah,
for sure.
Because I have heard of some people do it, like, well, booking-wise, is they don't even open their booking window to a certain time. So you're not dealing with all that extra admin stuff of during mid-season, like, you know, you get inquiries coming through in February, March. You know, my booking season, or my booking date's open from April, get in. And I've got, like I said, there's 30 there available. As soon as they're booked up, bang, bookings closed.
From a business point of view, though, I'm like, yeah, but say they're looking and say their booking opens in, I don't know, say it opens in March, and they're looking since November. The chances that, and it's not about missing out, but the chances that they're going to get worried and go, oh, we found this other photographer, you know, or videographer, right? I don't know. Yeah,
just lock it in so that they've.
But it's either you or it's not, right? There's certain things in this, like, everyone does stuff in their own way. And it's like, you just do it how you feel fits. And there'll be reasons for, like, some people feel doing it that way just gives them, like, control, gives them, like, they feel comfortable doing it. They feel, you know, my admin's quite, like, not my admin, but my booking process is quite open. Because I feel like being an extrovert, I feel like I can handle a lot of, in terms of people, editing and work-wise, I have to be a bit more processed, but in terms of dealing with information from people, I can really, like, have you throw it at me, and I can process that.
Yeah, I'm the opposite.
And so,
completely opposite.
Yeah,
I'm like, humans, beings, I need process. to have a conversation, I need microphones, I need cameras, I need to...
Whereas I'm like, I can... It can all be chaotic, and I can feel like I can piece that together. But in terms of my actual work editing, I'm like super particular. And I can't just like loosely do it. I have to have my process, you know? And for, I guess, people listening that own their own business, and there'll be people that are wanting to book weddings, probably listen to this as well, but more so for people running their own business, it's like figure out the things that make you click, figure out the things that you like work well for you and don't work well for you. And the thing I've found really interesting, like there's been a big culture of kind of these big, like, people buying courses online, right? And I think that's really awesome because I've done that and I've learned from, there's been specific photographers and I'm like, oh my gosh, I really want to delve into that and learn from that. But I feel like I've seen a lot of people kind of just go, oh, we can just copy and paste that. And it's almost like, I reckon when I've really felt comfortable with my work is I've actually gone, you know, like learning to say no to stuff and learning to go, no, this is actually how I work and this is what brings me alive. And then it's like, I feel like when you start doing that, it's like you just start firing on all cylinders, you know? Kind of like picking out what makes you click.
No, I get, and because it's like I've, you know, especially in regards to last season, we don't want to go through that again. And so it's like part of me is going like, last year was mental. I'm going to intentionally set aside like some family time and try to do less back to back and yada yada. It's that I then try and like, I get hit with this kind of anxiety around like, yeah, well, if you were so busy then, had so little personal time then, and still like, you know, like financially kind of like just made it all make sense. What makes you feel you can claw back some of the personal time, the family time, and still make the books work, I guess, is sort of where it's like, it's all, I feel, you know, there's like two voices in my head where I go like, it's all good to like stand up for what you want, but like, are you going to make sure that the house of cards doesn't fall down?
I reckon the craziest thing in the last 2 years, though, has been the admin and the additional workload with so much changing.
Mm.
You know, the amount of like, it's the first time in my career, like, and actually even going back to like, say, surf and skate industry, that I've forgot information about people.
Mm.
Like, I can't remember.
Yeah.
It's the first time I feel like my information cup was just like, it was just overflowing to the point where I'm like,
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited for the season because it's like full fresh start. Mm. There's no confusion about any dates. It's just like,
don't worry about
all I know who my couples are this weekend. I know I've got a trip away the weekend after, the trip away the weekend after. I could tell you exactly who those people are, what they want from their wedding.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that last year I just felt like, I could delve into my notes because, man, I've never written so many notes as I did last year because I just knew it, like you were saying, like voice record, you know, because you just didn't want to forget that information.
Yeah.
But there's no way to maintain it when it's the third time that you're dealing, you know, you're kind of planning a wedding. And that I'm excited for this season because I'm like, oh, man, like, so I'm shooting the same amount of weddings, but it doesn't stress me out.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm doubled.
And this is actually a sort of something I want to delve into with you, Zach, is like, how's the, I guess, how's your brain going from doubling your bookings, pulling back on school, and just this whole sort of new transition for you, making it all work?
All official for full time, I guess. Yeah. I guess like it's kind of, it's super, I'm super proud of now I'm at this point where I can pull this eject cord and go, right, let's fucking rock and roll, you know? Because for so long, for the last couple of seasons, you know, you go, oh, so when are you going full time? When are you going full time? When are you going to give up teaching? I love working with kids so much and I love teaching so much. A big part of me was going, well, hold on, if I'm not teaching, then who's going to be in front of these kids sort of thing, you know? So a big mind shift. 10 years teaching is a long time and then teaching is one of those jobs you do not get into it for the pay because it's dog shit, right? So you get into it because you know what you're doing is good.
Yeah.
So I know that I'll come back to it.
Yeah.
I know that I've got about a 5-year window where I can be this guy, Zach, who rocks up at weddings and just fucking sparks everyone up. I can't do that when I'm 40. I could do, probably. But, you know, I'm not going to be at that level. So I've got 5 years to go, right, let's fucking rock and roll.
Yeah.
Let's hit this with everything I've got. And my whole, honestly, like in the last kind of month or so, my whole brain has just shifted. Like it's just kind of right. This little thing that was a hobby that, you know, I still like question myself all the time. Like people are actually paying me to come along, bring a camera, party with them, have a good time, and then give them this. It's awesome. And I think now that I know I'm going full time with this, I'm just like, right, I'm all in. And so there's a kind of terrifying that I've got a double the amount of bookings, but also a relief that I know that from Monday to Friday when I'm not teaching, I can put my energy into all the admin stuff and the editing, and my process is going to get better because last season my process, I was only editing or only getting shit done when I had time to do it, because there's no way I could come home and edit after teaching. My brain was just not in that place. Yeah. It was just gone. So I'd come and do the small things I could do, and then I'd edit on the weekend. So it's exciting to see what the product might be as well. You know, like I can spend more time. I don't have to jump onto the next one so quickly. Yeah. You know, and I can also take some downtime after each one as well if I can put those things into place the right way. But I'm fizzing. I'm just like, it's. I'm pumped. I'm frothed.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for you, bro. Because it was only until very recently that I realized you were teaching and you weren't like in this full time. I was like, how the fuck is this motherfucker doing this?
Well, honestly, it's almost like 10 years ago. I remember when I started beginning teaching for the first time, and I saw mums, mainly mums that I work with, are going, like, you've got 4 kids at home. How are you teaching 9 to 3, marking all this stuff, doing all this planning, doing all this admin? Because it's so much admin, man. Like, it's so much admin, which I think has also kind of got me prepared for this as well. Like, you think in a day's primary school teacher, I've got English, maths, and writing. Mm. Within that group, you've got four different groups of reading, writing, and maths.
Mm.
4 out of 12. That's 12 lessons you've got to have for the first half of the day in your head. You know, so all those kind of things you can transfer across to this. But my mind does. I believe that this I would never work this hard again in this space when it was three kids, full time teaching, and weddings.
You know,
and because the way I approach. Like my mates know that I'm mental and I'm always up for a good time and I'm always like, I'm coming like a hurricane most occasions. So whatever I do, I'm not going to go in half-ass. I'm going to go full tilt. Yeah. So when I was doing that as a dad, as a teacher and as a videographer, fuck, I was just like drained on all cylinders.
Yeah.
But
and you can do it, but you can only keep it up for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, I was at a wedding like a while ago, and like I had my little moments where I go on the dance floor, just fucking like, let's go. And then I come back and I do it as teaching as well. Like when you teach, you got like the bell rings, morning tea, like I'll go stand in the corner of the staff room and people come talk to me. Like, I'm just having a coffee. I'm just like the same thing on the wedding day. Like and then I'm like, just go in the corner, just count to 10. And then boom, you're back on, like you're a performer, you know? That's the way I see my role, like, almost like a coach too. Like I'm loving that part of the day now. Like I'm excited for that this season. Like that's what I was going to talk about. Going back on that, what it means to be a man and stuff, I'm feeling a lot more comfortable now in my space to have those conversations with a couple on the day about how the day should go. And like during those client meetings.
Yeah.
Like, so is that, what do you think? Like, I think you should do this. I think you should do this. This is what's going to tell a good story. Hey, this part of your story is really good. Let's play on that. Let's talk more about that, you know? And like the best thing I love doing now is just being that, again, that teacher role. Like I've coached footy my whole life and touch and that kind of stuff. And you almost become, because I'm now not a seasoned, not 10-year seasoned pro, but I've done it enough now to know when I need to go, oh, we've got to go. Like, we've got to get this ball rolling or get that guy outside. He's way too drunk. that sort of stuff. Or telling people to shut up. I'm like, bro, I said, bro, can you be quiet? This fella here is paying for your beers and you're just talking shit. Be quiet.
Yeah. Like,
Last season, I asked a mum to leave the room. It's the most intense thing I've ever done.
Jesus.
She was just stressing the bride out and it was getting ready and the whole atmosphere was just going. And I was like, hey, I feel like you just need to. And I would have never done this in the lead up. But it's like part of our day, because we're around weddings, you know, you know what's working, you know what's not, right? And when it's your wedding and it's your first or your second or your third, no judgment there, you don't know, because you're just like, you're in the zone of it, right? And so like, I was like, can you just leave? And it was like this like, but I came away from that going, man, that needed to happen. No one else was going to do it. And she was actually good after that. But it was like, there was just the space needed to be like.
Because I think as well, like because out of all the vendors that go in today are awesome. I think as the videographers and the photographers, you feel like you're that more intimate with them because you're giving them something back afterwards as well.
I say to our couples, we're the only people that are with you the entire way through the day.
Yeah.
The only people.
Mm.
And so I find it is interesting and tricky with wedding planners, because often they'll put through, wedding planners hate me because I often, I shouldn't say that. They love me. But I often change their timelines because I'll put together a timeline for the couple.
Yeah.
And then my big process is going, let's talk about your day. Like, don't talk about the logistics of the timeline. Talk about your day. What do you want? Now let's talk about the timeline.
Yeah.
And often it's like, oh, no, we need to push that out. You don't actually need that time. Like, what is the day that you guys want?
What works for them is the best thing.
And it's really funny with the planners, because they'll go, oh, the planners put together a timeline. I'm like, oh, I hate to tell you, I'm probably going to change with this.
Like another thing I've seen a lot, back on that coach thing, is like talking to the grooms in particular. The last three weddings I've done, coaching these grooms on not how to behave or not how to act as such, but like when I do my one-on-one with them, so I always do a one-on-one with the groom before, when they're just in their boardies and having a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And based on how they talk to me, I'll get an idea of how they want to show their emotion, but are too terrified to do it. Because you feel like a broken record sometimes at these weddings. You say the same things to the same people, but it's true. Like, there's a stigma in our country and society that, you know, blokes can't cry and blokes can't show emotion, and it's bullshit. Like, and all that these grooms have got to hear, they hear that, bro. It's all good to cry, man. Like, I can see it in their face, and they start doing the bottom of the jaw.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, it's just me and you here, man. Like, it's all fucking good. Camera's down. Look, just cry if you want to cry. And I say, look, the only thing that you showing your emotion does, all that does, it just shows everyone who's turned up what this person means to you and what this day means to you. And they're like, yeah, fucking this, man. Yeah, fucking shit, thing. And then I honestly, like, see him I see him after that, and I, because you put the mic on the last thing, like, bro, remember I said, like, yeah, bro, shot, man, shot, man, yeah, shot. And then you watch it, because I never get to see the groom reaction, because it's only me on the day. I've got, like, I'm running around like a human tripod. So I only see the groom's reaction when post on their camera angle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, my boy. And like, he's just like a person went up the other day, and it was just this cowboy, a fucking cowboy.
Oh, yeah, another one.
Said no one has ever seen him cry before.
Yeah, he lost it.
Ever.
He's like, singing along to the track.
Right,
and
we're down doing some horse stuff with his, it was a real sad story. His dad passed away, and there's a lot of emotion there, but I could see him doing the jaw thing.
Yeah.
I said, bro, like, it's all good, man. Like, I'm going to walk away now, because he rode his horse up in Queenstown up to the ceremony. And I said, bro, it's just you, man. Like, just, it's all good. And he goes, yeah, thanks, bro. And then it was just that. The last three weddings have been like waterworks on the on the groom. I don't think you're in the room. I'm going to do awards this year.
Yeah.
Best emotions from the groom, like, drunkest bridesmaid.
Yeah.
The loosest auntie, the worst dad line. awkward moment in the speech. Yeah, pretty funny.
We need like a counter of how many speeches start with, for those of you who don't know me, like all that shit. Yeah, man.
Yeah. I was gonna fire you you said that the one I put up yesterday of the Māori fella.
I was reading your
speech thing. Like, what? You should follow it. He goes, this Māori fella at this wedding. After, like, a Māori wedding's, you know, it's amazing, but the back and forth of speeches is always, you know, really intense. Yeah. And this old fella got up at the end, and he goes, he's speaking today on whatever he says. He goes, that loosely translates to, if someone starts talking for too long, they start telling lies, you know? It's like, that's bang on. Yeah.
It's just like hearing the kind of like confidence that you have. It's like, I don't know if I'm ever going to have that kind of level of confidence. I'm just like, I'm not built like that,
man. I'm an outgoing person. I'm like, I'm sitting here being like, oh man, shit.
Yeah. But I've always just said that, right?
Yeah,
that's why I'm good at, I mean, that's why I love teaching, because I don't like, it's kind of hard. Like, I care what people think, but then again, I don't give a fuck. And I think
it's
that's
a combo of giving a shit and also not giving a shit what people think about that.
Yeah. And like, I tell my couples as well, like, I want to be that person. Like, I was speaking to a couple who are really super quiet, like really, really quiet. And they've come to me because they said, we want to have a bit more energy in our day. I was like,
that's cool.
I can do it for you. Yeah. So like, when like, and I tell my couples, like, there are three parts of the day that make your day what it is. It sets the tone for everyone. Ceremony entrance is a big one. So if I'm down there, I'm like, I get the people who I know I've spoken to today, like, you can feel it out. You can feel it out. It's going to be an emotional walk down. Everyone's quiet, but everyone's kind of sitting there like, oh my gosh, we're at a wedding again now. I've got to sit a certain way. I love grooms coming in. You know, if I get like, if a mum comes in, I always start wolf whistling. I get like, someone whistle. And then all of a sudden, the whole
energy breaks. Gone. Yeah.
Well, the funny thing with weddings, and I kind of use this, I've started doing a lot of prep with couples. The way to word it is like almost like people at wedding day are almost like sheep, and that's a terrible way to word it, right? Because when you're at a guest, and this isn't a bad thing at all.
You follow protocol.
But when you follow protocol, and it's like, you know, you'll see the cake, the cake's all chopped up, right? And it's laid out there, and you're allowed to go eat it, but you're not going to go touch it until either you're told you can go and touch it, or someone else, goes and does it. And like, and so often our job is to actually almost bridge that gap a little bit.
All time.
You know, and often the pre-work with couples is going, what are you guys comfortable with? Like, do you mind if I do some of that stuff? Or are you a bit more, because sometimes people are quite rigid, and it's like, actually, that's totally cool. I can respect that. And sometimes they're like, we have no idea. Like, you know, and our job is to, in those moments, is right. Like, if it's for wolf whistling or it's for, the funny one that I always get is cutting of the cake.
Yeah.
And I always talk to the MC and go, when they cut the cake, can you please get people to celebrate?
Yeah.
I'm always like, one hand here. Yeah. I'm just like doing this the whole entire day.
100%.
Yeah. I love when we come. So when they do bro entrance, my one favorite thing to do, it always makes for good footage. And again, it sets that tone. They come in, I kind of get the crew together. Mm. The bridal party, all right, guys, fucking showtime, let's rock and roll. Mm. Like almost like a pre footy, before you run out. Let's go, man. This is it, man. Your party's about to start. Let's fucking go. And then, and they'll go in first, and I always come behind them. I tell the photographer, look, I'm tracking all the way until they sit down, and I get to the front. And if people aren't sitting down beforehand, I say, I tell them to get on to stand up, and I just turn the camera on them, on the crowd, and I go, now it's your fucking turn, let's go. And we just fucking start, and everyone's like, yeah, like this. And then sometimes the tune just keeps playing, everyone starts partying, and then they sit down, and everyone's like, right, fuck, let's go into it.
Yeah.
But it diffuses that,
Oh,
now it's you know, and I kind of like weddings and funerals are kind of in the same thing. If you only hopefully do them once, right? Mm. And it's like you don't know how to act.
Nah.
And I'm like, for my funeral, I hope that everyone just actually celebrates a little bit. I don't want them sitting there like, they'll be sad. And it's the same as weddings. Like you want everyone, but everyone's sort of so reserved because it's like there's that respect towards the couple that it's their special day, but they also want everyone else around celebrating. And often it's not. It's funny. The tricky thing is often people get friends as MCs.
Yeah.
But friends that are MCs are almost, they haven't been an MC before.
No.
Yeah.
You know. And so MCs are really good in that space, but sometimes they don't quite know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's totally cool, but that's our job to actually step in.
Mm.
You know.
The amount of times I've said to the MC and go, mate, you need to get these speeches going now before this party falls apart.
Mm.
Like everyone's just too boozed and too loose. Like you need to get this going. And even just talking to the couple on the day, have you guys got your first dance at 8:30? We're almost done. Why don't you bring that forward for more of a bit so you guys can enjoy. Mm. But
you can only do that, and I reckon when you've spent the time with them before to understand
got the relationship.
How to do that. You know?
So you've got that that currency with the couple. Yeah.
100%. I mean, you can do it if you haven't done that, but I feel like it runs a risk of pressing on.
Yeah,
you know, you don't want to be rude on a wedding day. You want to have authority of what you're doing, but you don't want to be disrespectful.
Yeah.
Because it's not about you at the end of the day; it's about them. And it's finding that balance of being like. But I feel like if you spend the time in the lead up, you know whether you can actually
where the line is,
where the line is, you know.
And it's there's the whole photographer and videographer. I mean, I don't have that battle very often, but sometimes I can see the photographer pressing for something and I'm like, man, just ease up. Goes into understanding them. They obviously haven't taken the time to know them as such, you know, so they're kind of like.
And I'm sure you've had videographers who you're looking at them going, back off, you're not reading them.
Yeah.
Last season. Yeah. Nah, you were amazing to it. I was just having a laugh.
Zach,
being like,
back off, man. Yeah, you know?
You're great because actually I feel like, you know, we've actually only worked together once, but I feel like I know if I was working with you, I'd actually get so much more B-roll stuff because so much of my day is focused around actually managing.
Mm.
And this is part of me coming from a probably more event side. Yeah. Like I love doing that. You're probably the same, being a teacher, right? Like it comes naturally. Mm. But I'm like, man, we should work together more because then I actually get way more B-roll stuff because you'll take charge of some of that stuff, whereas I'm constantly but I love that content for me. It's actually it's not a couple looking at me.
Yeah,
I love it when the videographer's like, cool, it's my turn. Yeah. I'm like, sweet, I actually get to get that really cool little
off the side stuff,
moment. Yeah. But 100%, but I was like, I wonder if we'd clash both trying to
I messaged Jonathan Suckle.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, bro, if we ever get a wedding together, fuck, I feel sorry for the couple like that.
You two would be a bloody house on fire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can you do a backflip?
No, I can't do a backflip.
I feel like you two try and just be like,
no, I can't do it.
I've got a wedding with Suckling this season and it's going to be immense.
Yeah. I think that a lot of the time, same vibe. It's also so, I love working. I've only done once. The majority of photographers I work with are girls. And they're like 5'2", and they can they can hype themselves wherever they want to hype themselves, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't hype. How tall are you?
6'1".
Yeah, I'm 6'2".
Yeah.
I can't hide at a wedding day, man.
Nah, yeah.
And then try wearing like a bright fluorescent pink shirt as well.
Ceremony. Like, I got big feet. Like, yeah. Ceremonies are the worst, man. Because like trying to creep around a ceremony when you're like a tall dude,
yeah,
it's hard, man. Yeah. Imagine two of us would be like these, mm-hmm. like.
I don't have that issue. No, it's fine.
Yeah. Now with that pink hair, though, you're not. We just see this little like pink blur.
Yeah,
like,
I got pink hair
just,
now. But
like, photographers know, well, the ones that I've worked with, a lot of them are quite, you know, mellow and chilled and artistic and, you know, and niche and that kind of stuff. So I think it's quite a good balance of them, me kind of coming in.
I think some couples need people like you. And I think there's like you, Sucklings, similar, where the couples know they want to have a good time, know they need to be brought out of their shell, and know they need someone on their day, on their team to do that for them. And because my sister-in-law had Suckling, for their photographer, and they deliberately went with him because they loved his vibe and because Matt needed someone to pull him out of his shell. And it's like, Suckling's going to jump around and roll around and be Suckling. And he's going to make Matt laugh, make Matt comfortable. They're going to have, they're going to be relaxed and have a good time. Yeah. And your couples would be the same. They'd they'd look at you and go, Zach's going to make us laugh. He's going to make us comfortable. He's going to make us have a good time. Yeah. And couples, and some couples need that.
So, I'm not at the point of rolling the floor yet, but I
No, but you'll hype them up. You'll crack the beers for them.
I want to see it.
How much are you going to pay me if I do my Suckling?
I've got this little trick with that of like, because I'm not as probably crazy. I think.
But crazy, a harder word.
No, but you go for it, and it's in your personality. Yeah. Like you're like, and that is, it's not crazy. Yeah. That's
I actually messaged Suckling the other day. Actually, on that one shot, I was chasing the couple down the thing, and I went off the like as a off.
Oh, you like rolled down a hill or something?
I was like finding my inner Jay from Jay Mac, and Suckling, he's laughing. I was like, oh, and I was like,
But a lot of it's about distracting the couple that they have a buddy camera in their face.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. As Kiwis as well, like Kiwis, we don't like the camera anyway. No. Like, and that's why a lot of when I look back to when I first started, I was watching all these, because it feels like videos, it's growing and growing and growing, but a lot of it we were basing it off what was going on in America, and like, it was all of these slow like hand motions and a lot of just photo situations, so kind of, you know, and then Kiwis, we just don't, we're kind of like, oh, really? More photos?
Our biggest blessing is both Jesse and I are not comfortable in front of the camera. Like, I just don't.
You appreciate that
I don't want to be in front of the camera.
Yeah.
And so there's been so many moments where my couples have felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
We've got this funny one where, like, we don't really hold hands like in a traditional way. Like, I'll put my arm around, but she's shorter than me. Yeah. I've got big hands. She's got tiny little half Asian hands.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work. And we did a shoot for like some article, and the photographer kept trying to make us like get us to hold hands. And it was like, we were like, this just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I've had this a couple of times with my couples go, you guys don't hold hands like this normally, eh? And like, nah. And it was like, diffused completely. Yeah, and I was like, okay, cool, let's actually mix it up a little bit. And like, not being massively comfortable in front of the camera has helped me to kind of understand the pain. Because even though it's your wedding day, you've got this camera, you know. And I was referring to it as in skating. It's like, you'll be landing a trick, and then someone pulls out a camera, like, hey, can you record this? Yeah. And you'll spend an hour trying it because there's the pressure of it, and it's the same thing. And so it's just like diffusing and making them forget that there's actually cameras in front of them has got to be like in the biggest part of the day.
Which is what, again, like in that last season, I was getting those moments in between those shots last time. But I love that it was the podcast the other day, I actually used it where it's like talking to the photographer beforehand, hey, before you get them to do their shot, can you explain to them what they need to do?
Yeah.
And then we're going to record and do it. And I did that the other weekend.
Yeah.
Like, just gold. And also it means I'm not asking the couple to redo something again.
Yeah.
It's just that one time for them. And so that was that's another key thing I'm going to start doing this year again, talking to the photographers more. Again, it goes back to confidence and, you know, doing a bit more. But let's just make this as short as we can. As imperfect as we can, let's get it in, let's get it done, and then we can lead these guys to it.
Go and relax, yeah.
Well, you want them to be able to have 15 minutes to just actually hang out with your bridal party, right?
Yeah. I've done a lot of bridal parties beforehand, eh? I'm a big fan of the first look.
It's good, eh? Logistically,
I like it a lot more.
So what
it's
I
on my own. Otherwise, I miss out on. So I'm like, when I tell my couples, I'm like, look, what do you think? And again, this is going to again having more confidence and suggesting, hey, I think this would work better for you guys.
Yeah.
Because look, you're not that keen on all this like traditional stuff to a sense. So hey, you're getting ready in the same house anyway.
Yeah.
Let's get together with you and your person. It gives us more footage to work with. And I always tell my couples, it's kind of where you walk down the aisle, you see that girl or the guy or whoever you're so in love with, and then you get down and just by default, because we've seen it so many times on movies and so many times over again. Okay, can I hold your hand yet? Can I? What can I do with my hands? Like, what can I do during the ceremony? But in that first look, again, the whole coaching thing, I just tell my guy, I mic him up, I go, bro, or the couple, whoever, look, you're going to turn around and see a person, just embrace them however you feel fit. And you get such good stuff on that little thing there. Okay. And then you also don't get like a real pissed up, boozy bridal party. You get those real quick shots, everyone's engaged, like especially you got like 12 of them.
Because they want to get it done quickly.
Yeah, let's get going. Yeah. Bang, 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 bang. And then you might get a few later on, but it also gives them the time to, like, especially post COVID. I think this season's again we're gonna see a lot more of it, of these big weddings again, like 140, 150, where there's all these people from overseas coming in and they're there for like a day. And if the couple go away for a long time during that that bridal shoot, you come back in, you're sitting down. And then you get up and everyone's pissed, you know? So you don't get that time to go around and have a chat with everyone, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm all for it.
I find it really funny when I talk to you with couples is it's actually often the guy that wants that moment down the aisle.
Oh, yeah.
I've had a couple of really surprised. Yeah. So I ask every couple and talk them through it and pros and cons. Yeah, and I'm like, cool, you guys go away and think about that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to pressure on that. I say sentiment always overrules logistics. Like logistically doing a first look is always better. But if either of you has a hunch that that moment's special to you, hold that dear, because that's what makes your day special, right? But it's really funny, like I'll talk to the couples and they'll go, you know, have you thought about doing a first look? And the bride will go, oh, you know, that would actually be quite nice. And they go, and honestly the guy will go, nah, I want to do it normally. And the bride's like, what?
Yeah.
But I thought you'd be chill.
Yeah.
But I think because, and this doesn't speak for all weddings, the majority I find is that the bride actually does most of the kind of prep and the designing of the whole day. But that's a little moment for the guy that he's held dear and he's always imagined. And so sometimes it's like quite an interesting thing seeing them being like, no, I actually wanted that.
Yeah.
But it's cool. Like from a logistical point of view in terms of like it's so much better. But then I say to my couples, I say, I'm like, if it means something to you, you can throw the rule book at, like, it actually doesn't matter. Because if that's important, then, you know, you're recording that.
I do have one last question to finish us off, because I am interested in this, because you actually touched on it earlier, Zach, and I kind of want to loop back to that before we finish. This idea of, like, what happens down the road? Yes, we're talking about this coming season and likely we'll be learning lessons for the next couple of seasons ahead, but what's the long game in terms of we're all dudes similar age and you know we're talking about, you know, going hard for 5 years and then it's like what's each of your boys like exit strategies is a weird word, but like what's the long game for this? Do we want to be shooting weddings and hyping people up and getting on the dance floor when we're 45?
I think like for me, like my brother, one of four brothers, my oldest brother, he's works in animation, like so successful in what he does, like just the bee's knees it is. So I kind of go to him a lot because he's a director, he's an animation director, so he does like all the Disney like Christmas specials and that kind of stuff. He's just like the man. So when I talk to him about business, he's like, bro, Zach, here's what your next thing should be, because he's like, Zach, don't do weddings forever. I'm like, oh, we're cut from different cloth in that sort of way. He's like, I want to be an animator and make coin and stuff, because I'm like, I want to, he tells a story, but I'm always want to tell the story. And he's like, you should be going on the next stage is where you come in. This is what I want to be doing, like 2 or 3 years, maybe, where a couple comes to me and I am the person they deal with. There's me, there's a photographer, there's a videographer. So it's three of us in the day, more or less. I'm the key person that they're talking to the whole entire time. On the day, I'm acting as that person, that connection, that coordinator the whole entire day. I've got a camera as well, but I've also got someone doing photo and someone doing another camera, and that's where I'm kind of maybe slightly headed. So that way I can be that hype guy. I would even love to get my settlement license and be the person, like put a camera there and actually marry these people. So that's kind of where like I want to go down the track. And if it's not that, like, can I clone myself and get someone else on board to go away and shoot? Like obviously with COVID, I got a couple of tastes of that when someone went away and had to shoot for me because I couldn't be there. And will I get that same effect in the edit, which I did? So that's probably also maybe the next step of maybe getting someone to come in and shadow me for a while and coach them up. So I dropped down to 10 weddings, but you know, if you're getting me to come along, it's an added cost because I value myself as that person on that day. But yeah, I think I've got like a five year window. I mean, I'm a person who lives in the now anyway. Like this whole wedding thing came out of someone going, Zach, do you want to do this? Like, yeah, sweet, I'll do that. And that's, I've fallen into that. So who knows what the next kind of 5 years looks like. I know as a teacher, like when my kids are 14, 12, 11, like being a teacher, there's no better job as a young dad, you know. I can, the kids can be in my school, I can take them to school, I can take them home. I've got 14 weeks of holiday a year to be with them. And this job does give you that as well. You know, you can take the time when you need to, but you are still kind of...
Running your own business.
You know, for me and my wife, money is there. Like we want to get ourselves in a situation we can get a house and that kind of stuff, but it's never been the be all and end all, like having time with our kids and being there. That's kind of what I want to prioritize. So I'm working my ass off now. So when it comes to that time, when it's footy games and coaching teams and the camping and because you only get a short window when they're in that pocket of you can hang out, you can go surfing with
them. Weddings when they're doing weekend sport.
Just coaching my kids and stuff. Just pass on the torch, you know. But it's really hard to tell. Like I'm excited to see where it's going to go. Like I know that I'm only just touching the tip of the iceberg or whatever. Like I want to go. I'm a competitive motherfucker. Like I want to be top dog, not top dog, but I want to be known. Right, fuck. Yeah. Oh man, you got Zach. Yeah. Oh my god, awesome.
Yeah.
Like that's where I want to be. Like, and again, back to what we said. If you don't aspire to be that, then you won't get there. Right. Yeah. Like I was saying, as a teacher, you want to educate kids to do the best they can, and planting that seed in them. You know, if you've got this, if you haven't got that self-belief, then you know it's really hard to get to that point. But I've got it, and I want to get there. And I'm just frothing for the season, and just see what comes next when I can fully be engrossed in this thing for 12 months, and then we'll reassess.
And then reassess.
Reassess for 12 months.
I love that. I'm so excited for you, man. Because to be honest, I feel like you're already somewhat there at the point where people are like, oh my god, you got Zach. That's awesome.
Yeah,
you're already there.
Cheers.
And actually, as what's quite cool is that I see a lot of similarities to you're reminding me of when I first met Bottle Brush, because the first interview I did with Bottle Brush was right when they rebranded.
Yeah,
before they were part of the show or anything, right when they rebranded. And it was just this like fucking skyrocket for them.
Yeah,
and I just like seeing you like hearing you, like you talk about what you do, your attitude on the day, and just how you're about to sort of like jump into this, like all your brain space, like work-wise is on this. It's really exciting.
Dangerous.
Yeah, it's dangerous, fucking dangerous. But yeah, Jesse, how about you, man? What's like, do you knock around ideas of what will 10 years from now look like? What will 20 years from now 100%. Look like?
100%. A big part of our process has been, because obviously it's the two of us, we're both working in it. I do the majority of the shooting, but obviously Jesse's very much a big part of this business as well. And a big part of what we did early on, almost just before COVID, is we actually brought in a business advisor. And because I'm not a strong business head. Jesse's quite good. She's very, you know, she's very driven. I spent 10 years in the surf and skate industry earning just over minimum wage, living the dream. Mm. And I learned a lot, and I feel like it's built a lot of my skills, but I was never a super driven person. Money didn't drive me like completely driving around in my tiny little Suzuki carry. Like I was happy as could be having a family and being married and having a house very much changed that. Mm. One thing I've learned in the last couple of years, I think coming over that hump of learning business and actually having a business that's now thriving, like we're beyond where I could have hoped that we would have got to. Like I remember having a conversation with a close friend of mine, there was a photographer, and I'm like, man, he must be doing like 30 weddings a season. Like I was like, I can't imagine
doing
that. Yeah.
And we're coming up to it. We're doing our second season of 40 weddings back to back and feeling comfortable.
Yeah.
But also being like confident about where we want to go. But being a slow burner, like I'll sit in something for quite some time.
Yeah.
I see myself doing it for like a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
Until I feel my heart, like every change I've been, it's been this like full inner thing of like, I need some kind of change. Yeah. I think coming from the surf and skate industry, I'd built a lot of confidence, a lot of self-worth in that. And it was quite a bit of heartbreak letting that go and then redefining in this industry, you know. I was saying there's a weird period of imposter syndrome, but also finding, it wasn't so much imposter syndrome, it was more finding myself.
Yeah.
And being like I'm a wedding photographer.
Like that. Knowing that it's like authentic for you and like, you know, because like, you're a skater, you're a surfer. You like
100%. You know, and I'm like, you know, and I guess we putting ourselves in that, say, you know, for lack of a better word, high end, like, you know, editorial documentary wedding photography. But I'm this like, my photography, like, inspiration is all skate photographers.
Yeah,
like, I barely, like, follow wedding stuff. Yeah. It's all just, like, and so I'm still inspired by the same stuff. So I think getting to the point we're at, I'm, like, really proud and I'm kind of really keen to keep pushing that. I think finding a bit of balance and a bit of refinement.
Yeah.
But because I'm so hyped for you, because, like, 2 years ago, like, I was just, like, I'm going to push myself to the max and see. And now I'm like, next season, I'm like, we're going from 40. And I'm like, next season, I want to shoot 30. Like, I want to pull back. I want to refine and I want to develop. And, but knowing me, like, I've easily got another 5 in me, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think about
until that switch goes. And I'm like, because I need to feel passionate about it. I can't just do it for a job.
Yeah. Amazing. All right, boys. Well, I think we're going to land the plane. land the plane there, but amazing, and it was great.
Appreciate.
Let's fucking go! All right, boys, boys and girls, and ladies and gentlemen, and everyone else as well. That's it for this one. See you all next time. Bye.